No, I went to kidney doctor yesterday and
Monday,
and they said that I'm in the fourth stage of kidney failure, but and I gotta go to Duke. I finally got an appointment, hallelujah. But I'm going to Duke.
Get through that to Congress to get it.
Yeah.
Most of the time you do.
But I gotta go the Wednesday after the Jubilee, which my wife says, yeah, well, if, you know, if they wanted to see me one day that week of the Jubilee, says, we're going to take it. I said, well, yeah. But, you know, I have felt better today. And I felt better last night afterwards. But, you know, you just got to, I reckon, ponder over things and just kind of look at where you're at and everything. But this morning, when I got up this morning, I just went on and went into the study. I got up about, I don't know, about 4:45, I reckon. I just went on in my study and I just started talking to the Lord. And he gave me a little peace. And I just told him, I just flat out told him. I said, Lord, I said, I do not want to quit preaching. I do not want to give up the church. Only thing I would love to do right now is be able to go out here and visit more. I said, the only visiting I can do now is on the phone. And I says, I just love to be able to go out and visit more. I says, I want to do something for you. And after we got through talking, I felt better. I really did. I know the Lord he's got his own timetable. Got his own time frame and everything. But you know, still, we're human beings and we want it done now. That's the way this body is, the makeup of this, of each one of our bodies. That's the way we're the makeup. We want it now. We don't want to have to wait. We don't want to have to wait till tomorrow. As far as this appointment at Duke, I really don't want to wait till June. But they did tell my wife at Duke. Says she can call back as many times as she wants to between now and then, and just check and see if they've got, you know, got a cancellation or something. So, you know, I'm looking for something great to happen. I really am. And if I feel like something's going to happen, I do. Because it's nothing that, you know, it's nothing that we don't face to where, if we'll face it in the right way with the Lord, then at the end and the outcome of it, it's going to be where His Son is going to be uplifted and glorified from it. And that's what I want. I mean, I don't want nobody to lift me up on a pedestal because I'm not that type of individual. I'm not the type to be set up on a pedestal. But my Lord is... He is the one that needs to be set up at. He's the one that needs to help us, and He does. I thank the Lord for me every day. I really do. But I'm letting y'all know this, and I don't want to keep y'all in the blind of it. That's the reason I try to my very best to be just let you know, because just where I am. I ain't up here to have no pity me party. And I don't want you to say, well, You know, he's, why him? Don't say why him. Don't say that. Just say, Lord, you do your work. And as long as we believe that, we do our work, and we do it for the cause of Christ, there's nothing we're going to be able to do. We're going to always keep him in the center of our life. This evening, well, before we go any further, I'm going to take prayer request, and I do covet y'all's prayers, and I know you pray for me every day, and you just pray that that my faith will get stronger, because the devil, he's trying his very best to knock me off of my pedestal. And he's trying to knock me down so where I can't look up. But he's not going to do it. And I told God this morning, I said, God, I said, with you in charge, I mean, I can be like Job. I said, but don't let the devil have his way. And the Lord's going to have to help me, because I can't face the devil alone. And I can't even face him. Because I know if I face him, I'm going to lose the battle with Satan. But if I face it with the Lord, Satan's going to lose. Satan's already lost the battle. But he can still have his own battle today within each one of the lives that know the Lord as his Savior. So that's all I'm going to say tonight about that. But is anybody, we need to remember too, we need to remember Brother William, need to remember Sister Pam and Julia. And we need to remember that newborn there, Benjamin, and
James Albert.
Yeah, and James Albert. James Albert, he went through his surgery fine, and he called me just the afternoon after he got home, and he just talked like he's always have. I says, "Well, did you have a surgery today?" Because he was talking. I said, he ain't no way in the world he had any surgery. But he said, yeah, I had it. So he come through that fine. And I tell you what we need to do, really. We need to pray hard for all the men and women out there at Goodyear. Because I can't say I know what they're going through, because I don't. But it just don't affect the family of the individual that lost his life there. And we need to pray for them to also, his family. But we do need to pray for the men and women out there, because I know it's affecting them. You can probably talk to them, and you know, and it may seem like it's not affecting them, but it does. It's going to affect them. They may not think so right now, but they will affect them. So we need to remember all of them. Does anybody else have anything else or anything? All right. Okay, sure will. So she's going to work Monday, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Did you get that one mail for
So, and remember her, and let's do remember his brother, Michael, Katie, and the children there, that as soon as the children gets out of school, I think they're gonna be with mama.
Yep.
They're gonna be with daddy. And then Charlie can be able to spoil them.
That's a little too late.
No, it ain't. No, it ain't either.
They already spoiled.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna work. Yeah, we're gonna try to get them all in church and see what we can. But pray for Ricky Meadows and his wife Janet. Ricky's going through some things now that basically what I started out with. I mean, he's told me he had a fatty liver, and he had to go back to the doctor. And I don't know what the outcome of it was, but we need to pray for him, pray for his wife there. Need to just pray for one another. I think the Lord is really trying to, you know, teach us some things. And, you know, he's trying to teach us just to be a little more patient. And a little more patient towards the people that we get in, that we're contacting. And just let them, and it just go to them and just talk to them in love. And let them know that, hey, that if they need you or need me or anything like that, just tell them to pick your phone up. It's all they have to do. I mean, I would love for them to get in church, but one thing about it, and I believe this with all my heart, that you have to win them over as a friend first. And if you win them over as a friend, and they consider you their friend, then they gonna come to you with situations, and they gonna eventually be in church. I believe that. I really do. Anyone else before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yeah, we need to remember Sister Irma too. She's not here tonight because of the tree and everything that fell. I'm going to tell you what. The Lord definitely been with that lady.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you. Her and her sister-in-law both. But I tell you what, in 2 weeks now.
Did you know
Yeah.
That's what he just prayed for,
yeah.
Prayed
for
that situation.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm not. I tried to take it all in, but I didn't catch it.
Well, I didn't mention Goodyear, but, you know, I'm sorry, but.
Pray for my two sister-in-laws, too. Priscilla Webster and Jewel Hughes.
Okay, sure will.
I need to go see Jewel. I haven't in a while because there's been a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it's any way possible, it depends on how I feel tomorrow. But if I keep feeling like I've been feeling for the last couple of days or this week, I'm going to try my very best to go back to Roman Eagles Saturday at 2 o'clock. It's been a little over a year now since I've been over there. And they've been real good about just, you know, calling me and, you know, and checking on me and everything. So I'm going to try my best to go. I may not stay the whole hour or nothing like that. But I really want to go back. Because I've been going over there about 28 years now. I mean, that's where And I never wanted to give it up. So, anyone else, we'll go to the Lord in prayer now. Our Lord, we just want to thank you for this day, Father, that where you have given us. And Father, if you didn't see where we needed it, Father, we would not have woke up today. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing within the people's lives. And Father, I thank you for the people that we do call and we do contact, Father. But Father, help us that we may be a friend to them and they can realize that they can have a friend in us. And then we can be able to introduce them to you as the true friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Because you are there. You are the reason you went to Calvary for them also. Not just for me and not for just the ones that's here tonight. But you went to Calvary and you hung on Calvary's cross for the whole world, for the whosoever will, and that's everyone. And Father, I pray tonight for all the requests that was made known. Lord, we just pray, God, now for all the people there at Goodyear. We pray for that family, where they lost a loved one this past week, Father. Lord Jesus, that you would just help them to be able to cope with life because they probably don't understand the reason things is happening. Nobody does. But Father, we do know, Lord Jesus, that you are trying your very best to grab a hold of the people's hearts. And Father, in not a terrorist attack, but it's still a tragedy. Within 10 days, there has been two individuals that has lost a life there at Goodyear. And Father, and it was been 8 months since a lady had lost her life there. Father, be with each and every one of the family that's involved. Be with all the co-workers. Give them strength, Father, that they can be able to overcome. And Lord, and we thank you, Father, for that you are still on the throne. Father, we thank you for this new birth that came forward. And Father, where Pam and Julian, they there this evening with the baby, Father, Benjamin. And Lord, the way he may be able to come home tomorrow. But Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that he'll come be able to come home when you see fit. And Lord Jesus, is not just her and the new birth there, but Father, another family that we know. They had another birth within their family this week, today, Father. And we thank you for that. Lord God, and so people that can look at a child after a mother has just given birth. And people will say that there's no God. I don't believe in God. I don't see how they can't help it but believe. So, Father, we pray that you'll strengthen them and encourage them. And, Father, for Brother Bill and Sister Donna that's here and the grandchild that was just born, we pray, Father, Lord Jesus, that they can be able to walk the life. And Father, they can be able to proclaim you, that you are the one to give the birth. And Father, and I know thee, and Lord, and I know that they want your will to be done in his life. Father, for Sister Huff, the great-grandmother. Lord Jesus, we just pray for her. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just do what needs to be done. There's so many people today that just don't want to come to the house of the Lord. Father, if I didn't have you, if I didn't have these people here, I could not have made it as far as I have. But I thank you for being there. I thank you for being there in the bed when I lay down in the bed, that you just don't go and sit in the corner, or you leave and you go somewhere else. But Father, you lay in the bed where I'm at. And I feel your touch during the night. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, as we continue to go to the doctors. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you reveal unto the doctors that you are on the case. And I'm trusting you. I'm putting all my trust in you, Father. There's no one else that I can put my trust in, but I can put it in you, in knowing that you're going to do what is best for me and my family and my church family. Father, we thank you and we love you, because it's in the sweet, sweet name of Jesus that we come to you this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm gonna be in the book of Ephesians tonight, but I'm gonna go around and I'm gonna be in chapter 4 and 5, and I may get into 6 tonight. I don't know, but if not, I'll probably finish it up next Wednesday night. But I thought I might try to be finished it tonight, but I don't know, because it took a little too long tonight. But we just need to be mindful who's in control. He's in control. All right, here in chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, we see where 1 through 3, what he's talking about, what Paul is speaking about. He's speaking about the Christian, the believers, and the way they need to walk. They need to be walking, and they need to be talking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need to understand. What they're trying to do is let us understand that we are not worthy for the Lord to even speak to us. We're not even worthy to be able to read his word. But Paul says right here, says, but the walk that we walk is worthy because of what? Because of the vision that the Lord has set us in. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthily of your vocation wherewith ye are called. You know, when the Lord, when he saved me, when he saved you, He had a purpose for that. He has had a calling upon each and every one of us to go and do what he would ask us to do. And sometimes we didn't do it. Sometimes we just complained. I'm guilty of that. That I just said, Lord, I just don't feel like it today. I don't feel good enough today where I can go out and do this. But with that in mind, he's bringing all that back to me. Now, I can't go out now. Only thing I can do is pray for people and get in touch with them by the phone. Or have someone else to go by and visit them. But I'm not like no other preacher, no other pastor, because I feel like this. That if I asked any of the members to do something, first of all, I should be able to do it first. But you got preachers, you got pastors like that today. I mean, hey, they'll tell you, say, well, I visit today. From 8 to 5, I'll visit you today and tomorrow. But when it comes Thursday and Friday and Saturday, I don't do no visiting at all. Now, I heard a preacher tell me this. He said he does not visit the hospital. He does not visit nobody on Thursday. He says that's his time, the way he can get along with God. Well, if you've got to set aside the people that he has so asked you to look after their welfare, if you have got to get to the point to where you don't go to the hospital, and he said that he doesn't go to the hospital even if one of his members are there and they have surgery on that day. He won't go. And I says, what? He says, no, I won't go. He says, that's my day. That's my time. He says, the people, the congregation, they have their time off. I said, yes, they sure do, don't they? I said, but I want to ask you something. But God didn't call them, did he? God didn't touch their hearts. I told him, I said, I don't understand. I don't understand how preachers can feel like that they can go into this knowing that Lord, that this is what the Lord wants them to do, and they can go into it and say that from 8 to 5, that's all you get. Well, that ain't what the Lord was saying to me. That's not what the Lord was talking to me about. The Lord, he did not even talk to me about no time frame at all. He says 24 hours, 168 hours a week. If it means that I've got to be, and if I've got to go to the hospital every day during the week, and if I've got to go to someone's house and be with them because of bereavement or sickness or whatever, God is going to give me the strength and the willpower to do it. See, that's what the word vocation means. Worthy of the vocation. There's a whole lot of people out here. There's a whole lot of people that's standing behind the pulpit tonight. They ain't worthy. They're not worthy to stand behind a sacred desk. And I say it's sacred. It is sacred. But they don't get it. They just don't get it. They say, I gotta have 2 weeks vacation. Well, the Lord didn't say anything about me about a 2 weeks vacation. Matter of fact, the Lord didn't even say, when you go out here and church calls you, says you gotta make sure that they're gonna give you enough money to where you don't have to worry about this, or you don't have to worry about that, and you go out here and buy a new car or something like that. Now, the Lord ain't promised me that. He didn't promise me no new car. He didn't even promise me the where I would be paid. He says, you're worthy of your hire. You're worthy because you are doing something for who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it could be in money. But I know of a pastor right now. He was pastoring a church in a county towards Martinsville for about 10 years. And he said it up there. He says in the summertime, he'd go get in his car after church. And his back seat would be full of vegetables. Where they got out of their garden, they'd come and they'd bring it, they'd put it in his car. He said even in the wintertime, when they killed hogs and when they went out and had the cattle, they always come back and give him some. They didn't ask Tim if he wanted. They come by and they give it to him. In the winter time, he come home from work. And he said, well, I see the men has been here today. They done brought him about 3 loads of wood and done stacked every bit of it for him. I mean, things like that means more to people than money. Money is far. I know we all have to have some portion of money to live by. I know that. I understand that. Well, we go to the grocery store and all of that and pay the utility bills and all that. But let me tell you what. I don't need the money. I don't need it. The Lord is going to provide everything for me. The Lord's going to make sure that light bill is going to get paid at the end of the month. And He's going to make sure that I'm going to have a gas in my automobile to come to church and go visiting. He's going to make sure of that. Why? Because I'm working for Him and He knows it. He knows that I'm working for Him. Yes, He is my boss man. He's my supervisor. He's my superintendent. He is the owner. And I work for Him. And when I go to work, and that's it during the mornings or whenever. He said, I want you to do this today. We always got something to do when it comes down to the Lord. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's not many baptisms. There are not many faiths that we can grab a hold to. No, He has one faith for us. He has one also, one conviction for everybody that wants conviction. You cannot grab a hold to my convictions, and I cannot grab a hold to your convictions, because we are made up different. We are made up different, and we do things differently. But because of my convictions, and you say, well, that's my convictions. That's the conviction the Lord has given me. And the conviction that you have is the conviction that the Lord had given you. And the purpose of all of that is the ministry of the gifts that he has for us. And he has many gifts for us. We can start right now. I can start naming off gifts that the Lord has given me. A gift of knowledge. A gift of wisdom. A gift of speech. A gift of caring. A gift of love. A gift that only he knows how to give. And when he gives out his gifts, he does it in a way to where his son, Jesus Christ, is going to be lifted up. If his son is not going to be lifted, he's not going to allow it to come to pass. He didn't even allow, he would not even allow what Job went through if his son Jesus Christ was not going to be lifted up. Even Abraham, what Abraham went through with his son Isaac and offering him up. The Lord Jesus Christ would have never put that on Abraham if it did not have a purpose behind it. God's purpose is one thing, and one thing only. That's to please him, to please his son, and to please the Holy Spirit. What is our purpose? Is our purpose to believe and trust our family? Is our purpose to believe that I can go and get in an automobile and that automobile is going to be able to take me home? Is that my purpose? No. It shouldn't be my purpose. My purpose is him. That's my purpose, is him. To satisfy him. I mean, when we left home tonight, we went out on the car porch. My wife got an automobile and she put the key in a switch. I didn't go and pop the hood on it and see if the battery was hooked up and see if the starter was hooked up. No. We just went on, got in the car, and she cranked the car. We come on. When we got down to the end of our road, Jenny Lane, and when we took a left there on Goodyear Boulevard, we had to go across the bridge. But did I ask her to pull over on the side of the highway for me or her to be able to get out and go and look at the bridge? See if all the pullers was there. See if it was any cracks there. No. Why? We trusted man too much. We said, well, they know what they're doing. Well, I can't exactly say that all the time. They don't know what they're doing all the time. They cut corners. And when they cut corners, sometimes lives are lost. They don't consider there's lives involved. The only purpose that I have is seeing him lifted up. That's what my purpose is. What is your purpose? What is it? What's your purpose? Is your purpose to just to be faithful here to church? Is your purpose to be here this Sunday morning and not Sunday night? Is your purpose that the reason you are here is because you done got into the groove that where, hey, Wednesday night, we got to be at church Wednesday night. We need to be happy that we have got a church where it doesn't make no difference one or two people or what few people we have that is willing to have a midweek service. Because there are a whole lot of churches out here today. They would have been closed down to Sunday night and the Wednesday night service. They were just to have on Sunday morning. But yet, when Sunday morning comes, they're there. They don't have no Sunday night service. They don't have no Wednesday night service. And then they wonder why no one's getting saved. They wonder why nothing is happening. The reason nothing is happening is because of them. It's because of them. You know, I thank the Lord for this church. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. And for the people that come. I do thank you for that. Oh yes, I'd love to see some people saved. I'd love to see some people really get saved and get on fire for God. I would love it if you ain't on fire. I would love that where the devil would just come by and he would just take that old torch he has and he just take it. But I know that you're doing all you can do. I don't worry about that. I don't worry about y'all. I know that y'all are going to be here on a Wednesday night. I know you're going to be here on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. I know you're going to be here for Sunday school. That's what it's about. Coming in and having fellowship. That's what it's, That's what it is. We're not supposed to come in, the preacher's not supposed to come in and just browbeat the people. What's going to happen if you come in, if I'm up here preaching all the time and just browbeating the people? Saying, well, you ain't doing nothing. You ain't going out visiting and all this. You ain't doing nothing. Where was you at last week or something like that? What's that going to do? How's it going to make you feel? It's going to make you feel inadequate. It's going to make you feel as far as the pastor is concerned, he just don't understand. I understand. You'll never, and if I have ever said it, I apologize right now for it. But I don't think I have. If I have, I'm sorry. But I will not be the one that will criticize you, the church members, Head Faith. And I will not be the one that will criticize Faith Baptist Church. But people, they don't mind criticizing. See, if they criticize me and then they criticize the church, then if I go back and I start criticizing them, they're going to be the ones that's going out here talking to other people. Says, you know that pastor in that Faith Baptist Church, and you ought to hear what he said to me this past week. They want to do their... The devil has just as many people in church as God does. Sometimes I wonder maybe if the devil don't have more in the church because of the way some people and where they are and the way they live. But we have to realize one thing, and I'm going to... One thing. That God loves us. And you know, before we even go to the Lord in prayer, He knows exactly what we're going to pray for. He knows the way we're going to pray for it. But we need to ask ourselves, is the prayer that we are praying to God for, will it lift up His Son? And what His Son done for me? What He done for you? That was going to Calvary. That was hanging on the cruel cross. The same wood, the same manner of tree that His Father had grew. He was there hanging on that. He went there for me and for you. He went there for the whosoever will. He just didn't go there for Donnie. He didn't just go there for Charlie. He didn't just go there for Bill. He just didn't go there for just one or two or three or four of us. No. That's the reason that he had in his word. And just think about it. Think about the word where the probably that maybe somebody other would want to put there, where the whosoever will, in John 3:16. Whosoever. He just called my name out. I'm the whosoever. You the whosoever. The children I hear, they're the whosoever. We have to realize one thing, that when he does something, and when he wants to help us, and when he answers our prayer, it may not be the exact prayer that we went to him with, but he may answer it in a different way. And the reason for that is that I believe that he knows more what we need than what we even know ourselves. Because if we come down to think about it, it's not about our needs. It's about our wants. I want this and I want that. But he says, I'm going to put some food on your table because that's what you need. I'm going to put some shoes on your feet because that's what you need. It's not going to be no $500 shoes. It's going to be shoes the way you can be able to use. Because, and he will probably say, says, the reason I'm not going to give you the $500 shoes or the $500 boots or whatever, because if I do that, then you're going to watch where you go. Yeah, you may go visit somebody, and to get to their front door, you've got to go through the path and everything that they got, and it may not be completely dry. But are you going to go through there with the $500 shoes or boots on? He knows that we wouldn't. That's the reason he don't give it to us. He gives us what we need, not what we want. I don't have a want. I mean, I reckon I do. I got some wants that I would like to have, but I don't need them. I don't need them. That's not going to bring me closer to the Lord. What will bring me closer to the Lord is him just furnishing my needs. And he does it every day. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon. And Father, we pray for each one of the individuals here tonight. Lord Jesus, that you will touch their heart in a way. Father, when they leave tonight, that they can be excited. Yes, we should be the most excited people that there are around. Because we've read the last part of the book. Yeah, over there in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 3, I believe it is. Speaking about when perilous times. And it's talking about where men are lovers of their own selves and and the fornication and all of that. And they just, the wickedness that is all there, Father. We have seen that. That is right on us. And Father, I just really don't know how much more we can take. But I do know, Lord, that if we'll just put it in your hands and leave it there, that you'll take care of the whole situation. We trust you tonight. And we do love you. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that each one of the individuals here tonight would have a good night's rest and have a good night tonight and have a good day tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. And Lord, that they can be able to be rested up to where when Sunday morning comes, that they can be able to get in their automobile or whatever, and just come to the house of the Lord for Sunday school and preaching. Father, we pray. Oh God, we need to live better than what we've ever lived before. And I thank you for what you're going to do, because I know that you're going to do some great things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.